Also, I'm feeling super generous this morning. So if you are someone who wants a travel blog pitch template, that is a tongue twister, a travel blog pitch template to send to hotels, if you want to be able to travel leveraging your Instagram, go ahead and leave a 5-star written review on this podcast. Make sure you include your Instagram handle, and I will go ahead, reach out to you, and send you that Instagram pitch template so that you can start traveling the world for free using your Instagram.
Welcome back to another jam-packed episode of the Travel Business Babe podcast, empowering you to step outside your comfort zone to create the life and the business of your dreams. The TBB podcast is the perfect blend of personal branding and personal development designed to give you tips, tricks, and strategies to help you create the life and online business of your dreams so you can have the freedom to work from anywhere. A Travel Business Babe is the CEO of her life and her business. She dreams big and takes massive action on her goals. She harnesses the power of social media to build up her personal brand so that she can have the life and the business that she dreams of.
Happy, happy Tuesday, Travel Business Babes. So today I am interviewing Tyler McCall, who is an absolute Instagram guru. He kills it. Like, that is the only way I can actually explain this. He's the founder of the Follower to Fan Society. He teaches you how to use Instagram for your business and turn your followers into customers. We dive into everything Instagram. So be sure to take out your notebooks, make sure you have a pen, because this is going to be an epic episode.
Oh, hey, Tyler, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I'm super happy that you are finally here and I finally get to actually meet you via Skype.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. So for people in the audience who don't totally know who you are or what you do, could you just give a little bit of a backstory on that?
Sure. So my name's Tyler J. McCall. I help online business owners grow their business. And right now I do that through Instagram marketing strategies. So I teach folks how to use Instagram in a more genuine way, how to connect with their ideal followers and customers, and how to convert those followers into raving fans and into paying customers. And I do that through a membership community called the Follower to Fan Society.
Okay, so we're going to just kind of start with that. So you are known for your Follower to Fan Society, and something that I love that I hear you talk about a lot is working on your current audience and really working on converting those instead of always wanting more and more and more people. Mm-hmm. So could you talk a little bit about maybe something or some tips you have of working on your current audience to convert them into paying customers or clients for your business?
Yeah, definitely. So I see a big kind of opportunity for a lot of online business owners and digital entrepreneurs to focus on how they can better connect with the followers they already have and convert those followers into paying customers. And it's really my belief that if you cannot convert the followers you have right now into customers, that getting more followers may not be the best solution for you. Now, for folks who are listening who have like built an audience for one thing, for a particular brand or personality or product or service, whatever it may be, and then you switch gears and start doing something different, there could be an opportunity there to build a new following because the followers you had before aren't really there for what you're selling now. But for most of us, we spent a lot of time and energy in the past on getting more followers. We're doing things like giveaways or promo posts or getting on other people's platforms or using the right hashtags or trying to get our content to go viral. And it's all about getting more and more and more followers. And we think that's the solution to our sales problem. But the actual issue is that you don't know how to convert the followers you have into paying customers. And you don't know how to craft an offer that is the perfect offer for those people, and then how to message and position that offer in the right way so it becomes irresistible for your current followers. So the first thing to do is to get really clear on who you want as a follower and to really understand. You can understand things like demographics, you know, how old they are, where they live, but I think it's much more important that you understand what they believe, what their passions are, what they're afraid of, what they are hoping for, what they're working toward, and then start to think about how your product or service helps them accomplish that. So is it that you help them be a better parent, or you help them be a better business owner, or you help them be more healthy, or you help them have a better relationship with their partner? Like, what is the actual transformation you create through your product or service? Get really clear on that and get really clear on how you can connect with your ideal follower follower where they are right now and demonstrate that you are the best person to help them get to that ideal state that they want to have at the end. And then it just becomes a system of creating the right content for them that gets them excited about that idea, creating content that positions your product or service as the best option for those people, and then creating content that is fostering connection for your audience so you can have consistent conversations and really open up a dialogue with your followers. Instead of being so kind of passive in your marketing where you're just creating a great content, you have the pretty picture, you have the great quote graphic, you write the caption, you have the hashtags, and you just kind of post it up on Instagram and then you log off and go about your day. The best way to use Instagram is to create the content, share it, and then stick around and have conversation, responding to comments, sending and responding to direct messages. And that's what it really takes nowadays to create a community on Instagram and to convert your followers into customers.
Wow. Okay. So first of all, so much to dissect through all of that. Yeah. But I love the last thing that you said is it takes so much more now than even a few years ago, because
yeah.
my audience totally knows that I started off as a travel blogger. So maybe 4 years ago. And even then it was more of, you know, like the pictures and the destinations I was going to, not really the conversation and the community. And yeah. my like favorite quote that I say right now is like, community is the new social currency. It's mm-hmm. not the likes. It's not like all of your numbers. It's like, who are your raving fans? Kind of like you always say.
Yeah.
So what you just said, so much to dissect, but how can you really create content that you, like, resonates with your audience instead of just kind of guessing and throwing out content? How might someone create content that people are like, oh, wow, the Me Too effect?
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing is to get really clear. Like I said, get really clear on that ideal follower and beyond their age and their demographics, like what they care about, what they're passionate about, what their hopes and fears and dreams are. And then it's important for you to get really clear on your own personal values that are infused into your marketing, and then start to identify how those values can connect. So if your ideal follower wants to achieve a certain goal related to their life or their family or their health or their business, whatever it may be, what is the value that you have as a person? Is it authenticity? Is it integrity? Is it achievement? Is it humor? Like, what is one of your personal values that can connect with them in a personal way to help them achieve that? And there's also this concept we teach our students of taking those values and building out stories. So there's some signature stories that I think it's really important for businesses and brands to have on Instagram that you tell on a regular basis. And those signature stories are things that document your process, that tell the story of the creation of your product or your service, and that actually talk about the why of what you do. So what is the core reason you do what you do? So really nailing down those signature stories and then telling those consistently as a way to always reintroduce yourself to your followers and introduce yourself to new followers is a great way to start conversations. And then the last thing is this concept of shared experiences that we teach our students. So looking for 2 to 3 shared common experiences you have with your followers that are outside of your product or service. And the reason that's important is because we want to create relationships and we want to foster conversations with our followers that go beyond our goal of monetizing that relationship. So your followers can feel the sleaziness of you just wanting them as a follower because you're going to make money off of them. Mm-hmm. So the way that we do this is we create some content that is about something more than our business or our brand. So for example, I talk a lot about Instagram and marketing and business and all that, but I also talk a lot about Target. And I legitimately love shopping at Target. Yeah, like Target's one of my favorite places to go. I was just there yesterday. And at the same time, I know my ideal follower and I know that she also loves Target. And Target is a common shared experience for us to talk about that has nothing to do with what I sell. And the value of that is when I talk about Target, it's easy for her to have a conversation with me and for us just to start a dialogue. And if I can get my followers direct messaging me once about Target, or responding to one Instagram story about Target, think about how much easier it's going to be down the road when I have an opportunity for them to work with me and they're already used to having a conversation with me. So pick a couple of shared experiences. It could be motherhood, it could be fitness, it could be travel, it could be your pets, it could be Target, whatever it may be. Pick a couple of things that you can talk about regularly and consistently that is going to create a connection with your followers And then you can kind of use that connection as a springboard when it comes time to actually promote your product or your service. And the best way to do that is to pick a couple, test them for 60 to 90 days, see what kind of response you get. And then if it doesn't work, you can try something else. But I'm a big proponent of picking something and sticking to it for at least 60, 90 days is actually preferred, because we need that length of time to get an accurate sample before we post something one time on a random Thursday. And by Monday morning, we've decided it's awful and terrible and no one likes us. And I'm going to delete Instagram and I'm going to start a TikTok and all of that, right? Because we do that, right? We get in our feelings, we get in our emotions, we get hurt because we didn't get as many likes or comments or DMs as we expected or we thought that we should. And then because of that one thing, we start making all these crazy rash decisions in our business. But if you give it 90 days and look at it as data, it's just information, and then make the decision from there, it's so much more effective. And it also takes all those feelings out of it too.
So I love that, especially because you say to give it a certain amount of time so that we have data. I've been super into like growth hacking recently. I've been reading a lot of those books and how numbers and data really just... marketing has now turned into art combined with engineering, and that's how you can see the best results in your business. You have a quote on your Instagram that says, "You don't get to decide if your content is good. That's up for your audience." And I love that, especially working with a lot of bloggers and influencers in this space who might, you know, get a little like butthurt if they don't get like X amount of likes. And I'm like, well, does your audience like that? So could you speak a little bit to that quote of, you know, deciding what content to post because of your audience might like it or not like it?
Totally. Yeah. So that comes out of, I have a lot of opinions about the algorithm and how people blame the algorithm for all of their issues on Instagram. And there's this really common belief that, well, if my content's not getting the engagement that I expect it to get, then Instagram is out to get me. I'm shadow banned. It's the algorithm. My content's not showing up. All these things happen. And the first thing you need to understand is Instagram has said numerous times, including the CEO of Instagram, who literally has said this like every single Friday. If you don't follow the CEO of Instagram, he does a weekly Q&A on his Instagram stories every Friday. And literally every week, someone asks about shadow banning, and he says it's not a real thing. Now, will Instagram deprioritize your content if you're posting shady shit? Yeah, of course. Will they deprioritize your content if you're like posting your full butt on the internet? Yeah, they're going to do that. Like, you can't get mad about those things. It's their turf, and like, we're all playing in it, right? So we have to follow their rules.
Right. Like, but we don't own our followers.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they may deprioritize your content, but they're not shadow banning you. So it's really my belief that if you're not getting the engagement that you want from your audience, that you're not posting the kind of content that they want from you, or that your followers have outgrown your content, or your content has outgrown your followers. Like, there's some kind of disconnect there. I also think it's important that we don't just look at, like you said earlier, community is the currency, right? Engagement is not the sole determining factor in the effectiveness of your content anymore. If you're gauging whether or not your content is effective based on likes and comments, and I know if you're listening and you're a blogger or influencer and you're like, yeah, but that's what brands are looking for, and I get that, but I think there's really something more to it than likes and comments. Mm-hmm. What is your reach? What are your impressions? How many people is the content getting in front of on a regular basis? How many people are saving that content? How many shares is the content getting? How many direct messages are you garnering from your Instagram stories or just random DMs on a daily basis? All of those, to me, are far more important than likes or comments. Likes are so passive. They're so easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can buy robots to like things, right? It's so sad. But having someone take the time to respond to your Instagram story about something you shared at Target or about your celery juice or about, you know, your dog or something like that, that's so much more valuable. That's a more meaningful relationship. Having someone who takes time to actually save your content or to share it with someone else or to share your post onto their Instagram stories, that's so much more valuable than just a like in your feed. So I think we're really entering this phase where, and also Instagram is, you know, taking away the public display of like numbers.
Yeah, I want to talk about
number of countries. Yeah. So we're really reaching a time where just the likes on your post aren't that valuable anymore. And you don't get to decide whether or not it's good content. Like, as a content creator, you don't get to post something and then get, as you said, butthurt when people don't like it and blame it on Instagram or blame it on your followers, when it's up to you to create the right content for them. And the only way we can do that is by testing content, by checking the numbers, tracking the data, and shifting as we go. And it's a really good lesson. If you post something, people don't like it, and you try it again, and they still don't like it, guess what? Don't post that content anymore. It's time to post something new. Pretty damn simple if you ask me, but some people get so stuck in like, no, this is what I want to create. This is what I want to post. And as content creators, like, you either get to post what you want to post and experience maybe lower engagement or less connection, or you can focus on creating the right content for your followers that gets the right result for your business or your brand. And then you do more of that.
Right. I love that. Especially just, I mean, using the word content creator, because I think, and what I have, I would love to talk to you a little bit about this, but especially in growing a business, you know, there's definitely, I saw a quote somewhere and it was like, the difference between entrepreneur, content creator, how to kind of evenly blend the two, especially, when you're building a business. How have you found either the balance, maybe it's outsourcing or delegating time to certain aspects, like creating content, especially if you really are a creator internally, as well as managing and building and being like the visionary of your business?
Yeah, I think I'm really fortunate because I've always been an entrepreneur first and a content creator second. Like, content creation isn't something that necessarily, it doesn't like excite me. It doesn't, I don't get up in the morning thinking like, oh my God, I can't wait to create content. For me, it's like, oh, I can't wait to like be strategic today and think about how to move my business forward and who to hire and how to grow a team, how to create a company culture and, you know, what revenue benchmark we need to hit before we make this move and how much we need to be saving and investing and putting money here operationally. Like, those are the things that really excite me. And then the marketing side of, okay, how do we position our things appropriately to get them in front of the right people at the right time and make our offer irresistible for people? Like, that's what I love. The content creation to me has always been kind of a method to get to where I want to go. Like, it's a means to an end. And I know that we are in a world where content is expected, but we're also in a world where content has become a commodity. And the quality of your content in terms of its beauty or its originality is no longer the valid measurement of the effectiveness of that content. Because there are lots of people who are more creative than you, who have more beautiful content than you. And there are a lot of people who don't, and then they just copy what you're doing. So there's nothing you can do to like legally protect your Instagram edit style or to like have a trademark or copyright on how you wear a certain dress and stand in front of a certain color wall on Instagram, right? Like
the way you twirl.
Yeah. There's no proprietary way to twirl unless you're like, you know, Kylie, and you can have some crazy attorney spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to protect that, right? So there's nothing proprietary about what you're doing. Like, you're just showing up and creating content. So what's more important, how do we blend the two then, is how do we create content that is working toward a specific goal in our business? How do we not create out of a sense of obligation, but instead, how do we create content with purpose? And what that looks like to me is that we know what we're selling and how we're selling it and why we're selling it. And if you're listening and you're like, well, I'm an influencer, I'm a blogger, I'm not selling anything. My friend, you literally are selling something. Like, you are selling your authority. You are letting people borrow your expertise. You are letting them borrow your audience. You are selling this community that you've built. Like, you have a valuable asset that brands want their hands on. Also, it's worth more than $30 or a free basket from Harry and David or whatever the hell that is. Like, it's worth more than that, right? Like, don't, like, stop getting distracted by the free crap.
And like, be paid like a business, like it literally built an influencer business.
Exactly. So you have a really valuable commodity. So what is that thing that you are selling, right? Mm-hmm. What is the thing that you are selling? Why do people want it? What is the value that it brings to them? What transformation is it creating for them? And if you're an influencer or blogger, like, can I have two to think about here? What am I selling to the brand? And then what am I selling? What's the lifestyle I'm selling to my audience, right? So you can think in those two, kind of two hands there. And then, so what am I selling? Why do they want it? And then how do I convey that? How do I create content that conveys that? How do I not just create content because it's on my list of things to do? How do I not just create content because I want to spend a day building out my Planoly for the month. Like, all those things are great, but all of the, in my opinion, I think a lot of times we think that being productive leads to profitability, but being productive, just getting things done, checking things off a to-do list, is not the indication of how successful your business or your brand is going to be. It's being productive in the tasks that matter, focusing on the tasks that are generating revenue for you and your business. And so for me, I know that creating content on Instagram consistently and creating content that fosters conversations is the thing that leads to profitability in my business. Look, we just did a launch earlier this year. We did an affiliate launch for a product. We generated over $700,000 in sales for this digital product, and 80% of those sales came through Instagram direct message conversations. I've actually generated over $1 million in revenue in the past 3 years using Instagram direct messages. So they are an incredibly powerful tool. And Instagram in general, like, you can make money on Instagram, but are you spending your time on those revenue generating tasks, creating the right content, having conversations with people, connecting them with the right product or service? That's what really makes a difference, and not just creating content to create content or just to check it off your to-do list.
Right. Love that. And I already have like 3 questions from that statement. Okay. My brain is all over the place, but okay. We were talking about DMs. So when you're sending someone a DM, is it more of an authority establishing DM, or is it just striking up a conversation like a friend to then maybe segue into something else?
Okay. So my, great, really good question. So my DM approach is not to send DMs unless it's with someone that I've established a relationship with. So if I see, you know, there's a podcast I want to be on, or there's a publication I would love to be in, or there's someone that has a program I would love to be a guest teacher in, or I would just love to be on their radar because it would open up an opportunity for me, then I would follow that person. I would engage with their content for months, honestly. I would watch their stories. I would respond to their stories. I would share their post to my Instagram story. If they have a podcast or they're creating content elsewhere, I would share that onto my Instagram story and tag them to get on their radar. So I would do that consistently for a few months. Now, you don't want to do it like, you're not trying to be like single white female stalker style here. Like, and people do that. Have you ever had people do that to you, Christy? They're like trying to get on your radar so hard, and you're like, girl, reel it in. Like, you're trying way too hard right now.
Yeah. And then it kind of like makes me back up a little bit, and I'm
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it weirds me out a little.
Yeah.
Even though, sorry, I just told you I was like insta-stalking you, so I'm sorry.
No, but that's fine, right? Like, I was coming on your show, so you like wanted to be prepared. I love that. I love that. But I think that I want you to think about it like dating, you know? And if you haven't had much success in the dating world, then maybe think about it in like some other area of your life. But I think about it like dating, like courting. You want to like kind of follow. You don't want to really follow someone when you're dating. That's But you get the idea, right? Like, you want it to be subtle, like subtle engagement, subtle. It's maybe like flirting. Maybe that's a better way to think about it. This is going off the rails as I speak. But think about it that way. And then when you're ready, you can slide into someone's DMs with a very specific ask, very specific. And you want to make it very easy for them. You want to make it a super easy yes. So that's one way. But the way that I think about DMs, more importantly, and I think for most of us, this is the way we can use DMs, is what can you do on Instagram stories consistently? So I don't just mean like 5 days a week for the next couple of weeks. I mean, what can you do every single week for the next 3 to 5 years on Instagram stories where your people can consistently see your face, look you in the eyes, hear your voice, learn about your business, your life, your family, your kids, your pets, your food, your fitness, whatever it may be? What can they see? What can you do consistently so they can build a personal connection with you? And then what can you do in your stories to elicit direct messages? What questions can you ask? What content can you create that is going to get someone to tap on that little DM box and send you something? What can you do to make that happen? For a lot of us, we need to layer our engagement habits. And this is this really in-depth strategy we teach our students, but understanding that before we get someone to direct message us, there's a whole process in place to getting them used to interacting with us. Mm. We want their interaction with us to become second nature. We want it to become habitual for them so that when the opportunity arises for them to send us a DM, they're so used to tapping and engaging with your content and your stories and your feed that sending a DM is so easy for them. Mm. So what can you do to build those habits? What can you do to elicit direct messages from your people? This is where those shared experiences are so important. So talking about Target or your run this morning, or, you know, the bad word that your daughter just learned at preschool, whatever it may be, like talking about that thing then creates this opportunity for them to have a conversation with you. And then you just nurture that conversation. You're always responding to direct messages. You're always thanking people for their comments. In full transparency, I've been really crappy at that for the past few months because life and business has been really crazy, but I used to be really good at it.
You got married.
I got married, I bought a house, I moved, I hired like 3 employees. It's been kind of crazy, but so you're making it a conversation, right? And I like to think about it this way. The content creator, I guess, who's not doing this effectively, is, I talked about this earlier, they're logging on, they're posting content, and they're just trying to push their content out, right? Mm-hmm. And you can feel that energetically. Yeah. Like you can, even if you're not a woo-woo energy kind of person, like you can literally feel that energy of them pushing it onto you. Like, you need this, you want this, here's this idea, here's this content, like this, comment, all that. You want to shift from that push energy to a pull energy. How can you simply pull people closer? What do you need to say and do that is going to pull people in, pull them closer to you, make them really excited about who you are and what you're doing and what you're saying? That's going to get them talking to you. That's going to get them sharing your content and being a part of your community. For a lot of you, it's just simply shifting your mindset and saying, you know what? I've been really pushy for the past few months or the past few years. I'm just going to start pulling people in and calling the right people in to follow me. That simple energetic shift, that simple mental shift of how you open up Instagram can make all the difference for you. And then when you're pulling those people in, the conversations, the DMs, they all happen so much more naturally. And it's not you doing the, hey girly, thanks for the follow. I have a really great opportunity for you. Have you ever thought about selling X, Y, or Z? Or have you ever thought about...
I don't even respond to those anymore. I'm just like, I don't have the energy for that.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite is on Black Friday, someone DM'd me like a screenshot of like a deal that they were running on there, you know, and no shade, you know, against direct sellers and MLM businesses, but sent me a screenshot of a deal she was running on a product that's a skincare product that's supposed to help with fine lines and wrinkles. And it was like a before and after of a man's wrinkly forehead. And she sent me that screenshot and said, just saying. And I was like, girl, what the F he's trying to say? My forehead is beautiful. It's porcelain. What are you trying to tell me that I need to buy? Thank you. Thank you. I mainly just told that story to fish for a compliment. But still, the fact that she did that, I was like, this is not good marketing. Stop doing this. But people do that every single day. They think it works. Because it probably worked one time.
they really do. But I think that's really smart in order like to pull people in instead of pushing. And I'm like super transparent with my entire audience and anyone out there who follows me and who's, you know, interested. But like I hired a business coach a bit ago and I feel like during that time I was being very pushy because it was like, I feel like I was like being told what to do and I was just pushing out content and I was like, this doesn't feel like me. And then I had to take a few months to kind of just like reconnect with like, what do I love and why do I love it? And then that has just completely like changed my numbers on like Instagram and my business. And it just makes me as a person just like feel better. Just like the transition between the push and the pull.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
That was huge. So I want to bring up again, cause you said productivity. Ooh, I wrote this down wrong. Being productive is not always like move. How did you say that?
Just productivity doesn't always equal profitability.
Yes. I wrote productivity doesn't always equal productivity. So
I think that's true too.
Okay. So I totally want to talk about that because I saw on your Instagram story or your Instagram post, your goal for this year is to take 200 days off. Can you A, maybe speak to like why that's your goal, but B, maybe speak to the transition between balancing a lifestyle and a business and what you really want from your life and business?
Totally. So that goal came from a few places. First of all, I'm a student and a mentee of James Wedmore, who I love, and really inspired by what he's doing and building his business. And he recently had a podcast interview with Michael Hyatt, who I think we all love as well, who's like kind of the king of being productive and building a life on our own, our business on our own terms. And they talked about how Michael was able to take off, I don't even remember the number, a certain number of days in 2019 and still grew their business by like some crazy percentage, right? So super inspiring to think about how me as the CEO in this business, that I think a few things. First of all, I can't run the business and create a culture and be creative and have ideas to move the business forward if I'm trying to do it while I'm on empty. And for me, 2018 and 2019 were incredible years. I mean, we grew our business in amazing ways. 2018, our revenue went from 70,000 to 700,000. Yeah. And then 2019, 700,000 to right at the $1 million mark. So really amazing goals. Yeah. Amazing achievement. And you know, 2020, we have big goals too. We want to double our revenue and become a $2 million company. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that. I cannot be creative and have ideas if I'm trying to do it while I'm running on empty. And while these past few years have been incredible and incredible business growth, I've been busting my butt like to make it happen. And we've kind of ended up like 2019 in particular, we had a lot of big goals and a lot of stuff we needed to get done before the end of the year. And at the time of us recording this, like I literally have like 10 more days to work to like get all of this stuff done. And it has required us like as a team and as a company to just like bust it for the past few months to make that happen. And I do not want to do that next year. Next year, we have big goals. We're launching a new product. We are working toward a crazy revenue goal. We're doing a couple affiliate launches. We're expanding our team. We're bringing people on full time, like all of those things. And I'm not going to be able to show up fully and do all of that if I'm not taking time for myself.
Yeah.
So part of it's a little bit of a challenge, like, okay, how much can we grow the business with me taking this time off? Part of it is, what do I need to do? Who do I need to show up as to empower my team to run the business without me here? So what do I need to make sure I'm doing and thinking about as so we're growing a company and a culture that can make that possible? And then part of it too is realizing it's just a really important reminder for most of us who got into this entrepreneur thing, that we did not get into it to have another full-time 9-to-5 job. Like, I left my full-time nonprofit job because it sucked the life out of me. I went in every day at about 8:30, had to go sit in a dark little cubicle. I always mess up those words. That is laugh out loud funny. Okay, cubicle. I had to go. Oh, that's so great. That's like when we were getting ready for our wedding and I asked my my now husband, I was like, what are you going to write for your vowels? And he was like, your vowels?
I'll take a vowel.
I know, right? You can take the boy out of the South, but you can't take the South out of the boy. Okay, so I would like go in, sit in this dark little cubicle. I would take every single minute of my 1 hour lunch every day. And I would leave as early as I could. Like as soon as my boss was gone, I was out the door. Mm-hmm. Like I hated it. I hated it. We were just talking about it this morning with a couple people on our team. Like, because we don't have a dress code here, you can literally wear whatever the heck you want as long as you look kind of put together. And like how all I wore were slacks and polos every single day. Like I hated that. Mm-hmm. So why would I leave all of that, create a business, do all of that just to get myself back in the same place? So like going to work 9-to-5 every single day, that's bullshit. Like, why am I going to do that?
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to do. So I'm looking at 2020 of how do I set my lifestyle goals first? Mm-hmm. What do I want to achieve personally? And then how does the business fit into that? Not the other way around. Not saying, what do I want to achieve in my business? How does my life fit into that? Like, y'all, I'm not trying to get the freaking leftovers in my life here. Like, I want the first thing, like, I want the main course, and then the business can get what's left from there, right? Yeah. Yeah. So looking at, where do I want to go next year? What do I want to travel? How much time do I want to take off? So, you know, for example, taking 200 days off seems really ambitious. Well, if you take every Saturday and Sunday off, you're already at 104 days. Hmm. So great, halfway there. As a company, yeah. So as a company, we are, our office days are when we are in the office or when we're all working are Monday through Thursday. So we do company-wide 3-day weekends anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm already at, what is that, 156 days. So it's like not that far off, right? It's, you know, a couple weeks off per quarter. and I get there, 200 days off. So looking at that, what hours do I want to work? What days do I want to work? What time do I need to take off after a launch or a promotion? This is really big. Like, didn't plan that this year and ended up doing these promos and these launches. And then literally like the day after, looking at Eric, my husband, and saying, I'm going to book an Airbnb in Florida. Can you go? Can we leave tomorrow? Like, I have to go. I have to get away. And fortunately, we can do that. Like, we have a lifestyle business, so we can make that happen. But wouldn't it feel so much better if I was like working toward that next year instead of letting my self-care be an afterthought? So yeah, that's what's going into planning next year, and knowing that if I'm more full, more energized, you know, because entrepreneurship, like, it's a full contact sport, y'all. Like, there's a, it takes everything out of you to make it happen.
It's like an Olympic sport.
Yeah, it really is. So if I'm more, if I'm more energized, if I'm more protective of my energy boundary wise and what I want to do, when I want to do it, it's going to make all the difference. And I think that $2 million mark is going to be even more achievable if I'm approaching it that
way. I think you'll get that. I really
think.
So talking about lifestyle first and then business second, and combining that with the whole, we didn't leave our 9-to-5 job to have another 8-to-6 job.
Yeah.
Especially in the coaching industry, I know a lot of people advise to having those high ticket one-on-one clients or those 3-month group programs that everyone does, which I think like at a certain level is totally fine. But how did you decide that you wanted like a membership, which I personally think is more of like a lifestyle choice than having those one-on-one clients? Because I personally have made that shift as well. So I'm curious like what went through your mind and if it's similar.
Yeah. So in the beginning, the membership site took up like just as much time, if not more, than having like one-on-one coaching clients or group coaching programs. Now I'm fortunate we've built out our business in a way where my membership site takes about 3 hours a month of my time. The rest of it is run by a team. We have operations director, we have community manager, we have coaches in our program. We have, so all of that's like, it just runs itself. I show up for 3 hours a month to do coaching and Q&A with our members. Mm-hmm. So that's really incredible. The reason I picked the membership model, quite frankly, is because I wanted a paycheck. Like, I wanted to have a paycheck come to me every single month at a certain day of the month and know that I could pay my freaking bills. And when I was in the first 2 years of my business, I ran an agency and then I did coaching and consulting. And it was always like, it was always on that kind of treadmill, on that hamster wheel of having to get new clients in the door. Like, I'd have a really great like $10,000, $15,000 month because I would like sign a new coaching client and then get a current client on retainer and then do like a $5,000 consulting package. And then the next month I'd make like $2,000, you know? And it was just like, so, and you can't live a life that way. You can't like plan purchases that way. You can't like plan a vacation or buy a home that way. For me, like, I just couldn't do it. So I wanted a paycheck every single month. Mm. And I saw that having a recurring revenue business model was the best way to make that happen. And it's been the best thing I've ever done. And we've since supplemented our income with affiliate promotions. So being an affiliate for other digital products that have 6 to 12 month payment terms after purchase. So we're getting that consistent revenue for 6 to 12 months. And we've also supplemented with a high ticket offer of a mastermind. So we've done that as well. But
I did see that. Congratulations.
Thanks. But the new product we're launching in 2020, it's a subscription-based business model. It's a recurring revenue business because I love that business model. It's so easy to sell because we're all so used to subscription-based businesses. Literally, like, if you look at your bank statement, probably half of those things are on subscription and people are used to it. And it just gives me that consistent paycheck every month. And I love that.
That's true. I think so. When a lot of people hear membership, I think if they haven't done it yet, they do worry about retention. So how do you manage retention in a membership site? And is that related to like, this might be two questions in one, but is that, could that possibly be related to pricing? And how did you decide like what your price point is of the membership?
Yeah. So the thing I'll say about retention is that, and this is probably a little, it may be a little contrarian, but I don't care.
Say what you want.
Yeah. Your retention rate only matters in relationship to your cost of acquiring your members. Does that make sense? Like, I can. So I think a lot of people get really obsessed over retention and they're like, oh my gosh, my retention is this, or it dropped by 2 points last month or whatever. And like, retention is important, right? We all want to retain our members. We want to keep serving them, all of that. If you are, but here's the problem. So many people are so obsessed with retention because it affects them. Because if their retention drops, it hurts their revenue and their income and their paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe maybe your members only need your product for a certain amount of time. Like, do you want to keep your students, your members broken so that they have to keep paying you every single month? Or do you want them to get in and get what they need and then go on about their life, right? Mm-hmm. Some people will stay on forever because they always need support or content or community, but some people may not. But what I mean by retention in relation to your cost per acquisition is that you need to get really clear on how much it cost you to acquire a member. Now, if you're doing this all organically, doing it all for free using Facebook Live or Instagram or Facebook groups, then your cost per acquisition is zero. It's only costing you time. It may cost you a virtual assistant to help or, you know, a marketing assistant or something like that, but it's $0. Once you start getting into Facebook ads, that's where it becomes really important to understand, or other ads, Google AdWords, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's where it becomes really important to understand your cost per acquisition. And then what you need to think about is, if it costs me X amount to acquire a customer, how long do they need to stay on or stay a part of my membership to recoup that investment and then make money on that investment of the ads? So for example, I just got a report back from our ads manager yesterday. On average right now, it's costing us about $70 to acquire a new member. Now, that's a combination of all of our ads. We do different ad stacking in our funnel. We have engagement ads, video ads. We have webinar registration ads, we have lead magnet ads, we have set. So everything combined, once someone goes through all that sales funnel, all the ads, we spend about $70 to acquire them as a customer. So how long, that's where I think, okay, how long do I need to keep them as a member to make that $70 back plus profit on that investment of $70? Now for us, something we did this year that has worked really well for us is we switched to annual only pricing. So we actually did away with the monthly cancel anytime membership option. So you have to commit to a year. And the reason we did that is because when we looked at all of our success stories of our members, it was the people that had been committed to it for a year who said, you know what, I'm committed to my business. I'm committed to Instagram. I'm going to make this work. I know it's going to take time to test and try new strategies. So I'm going to do it for a year. And every success story we share is someone who a year later has generated revenue, has retired their spouse, has paid off their credit cards, who made more in the past year than they made in the 3 years previously combined in their business. Like, all of those incredible results, right? So we ask our members to commit to a year. You can either pay in full $750 for the year or pay $75 a month for the next 12 months. So if it costs me $70 to acquire them as a member, I know as long as they stay through at least month two, I've at least doubled my investment. If they stay through month three, I've tripled it. But if they're on this, you know, the goal, right, is to keep them on this, to have people on this 12-month payment agreement or to have them pay in full, then I'm on average getting a 10 to 11x return on my initial ad spend, right?
Yeah.
So I know we're getting a little mathy here and a little nerdy, but this is where, when you start thinking about retention, right? So if you have 80% retention on a $50 product, then you can, and then you, it costs you $50 to acquire your member, then 20% of the time that $50 is going to be a wash, because it's $50 bucks to acquire them. They're there for the first month. After that, they're gone. But 80% of the time, and then you can start looking at how long do they stay? When do they typically drop off? What do we offer them to get them to prevent them from churning? All of those things. And that's where you can get really fun and nerdy and like CEO-y in your mind. For us, that's where we brought in a community manager who's going to help us look for strategies to make that happen. But that's my long-winded answer of saying retention is only important in certain areas.
No, I mean, I've actually personally never thought of it that way. So that was a total new, fresh perspective for me to hear. Have you ever read the book? You probably have. Growth Hacking by Ryan Holiday.
I have not, no.
Okay, it's similar, a little bit similar to what you were talking about, but I absolutely love that book. And it's, like I was saying, it's about the marketing combined with engineering. And I think it's awesome. And it's, yeah. Really cool. It's kind of like mathy. So it's interesting.
I love that. Yeah.
okay, cool. No, so because I love how you have that membership model as well. I was like super interested, so I totally wasn't looking at my questions. And my audience knows I just like keeping it as real as possible. So that's totally important for me. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for answering all of those questions for me. That was like super
cool. Oh my gosh, of course. I loved it.
Let's see if I had any other ones that I wanted to ask. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I feel like we answered all of them. The last thing I do possibly want to talk about before we close, because I know that we're almost to the end of time, but Instagram is removing likes. What is your thought process behind that? Especially the people listening to this absolutely love any Instagram episodes at all. Like they obsess over them. So a little Instagram.
Yeah. So I don't think likes mattered as much in the first place as we made them matter, or always as we made them mean. I think it's too early for us to tell what effect it's going to have on our profiles, on our accounts, if any effect. For those of you that are approaching Instagram for, you know, from a influencer perspective, you'll still get access to your number of likes. You can still use that when you're building out your press kit or when you're pitching to brands or whatever. So you still have that. I've heard lots of stories, so this is all anecdotal evidence just from other people, but that removing likes increased their likes, that it took away some of the, like, oh my gosh, people are going to see that I liked this kind of feeling. So then more people are more willing to like, that subconsciously, since they are no longer visible, they're not worth as much. So people are just more willing to double tap because it's a lot easier. But then, who knows? Who knows what effect it will have? I think the thing to do now is to, if you have never done an audit of your Instagram account before, if you've never sat down and written down your current engagement rate, your likes, your comments, your saves, your shares, your impressions, your reach, do that right now. And then, you know, 4 weeks from now, look at it again. And 4 weeks from there, look at it again. And then start tweaking your content and your strategy as you need to. But I'm a big proponent, as you've probably already learned from listening to me talk this entire episode, of knowing your freaking numbers and then using those numbers to make decisions.
Yeah.
Not just making decisions. Listen, I think there's totally a place for intuition and kind of trusting your gut. But a lot of times I'm making marketing and business decisions, you need to know your numbers. You need to look at the data. And you can't just allow your fear or your expectations to lead you down this path of making really crappy decisions that could have been prevented by just knowing your numbers.
Okay. I love that. Yes. I think the book Growth Hacking Ryan Holiday, totally read. Because I think
yes.
In it. And then last question about, I'm going a little bit of backwards, but I was super intrigued by the Facebook number conversation. Do you have like specific launch times for, like, I know in a business people either do launches, or are you kind of an evergreen, like constantly join the membership for your lifestyle as well?
Yeah. So our membership has been set up on evergreen for almost a full year now. So we have an evergreen sales process in place. Now, that doesn't mean the doors are always open. This is a big distinction. So we have an evergreen sales mechanism in place, which for us is a webinar that people can sign up for. And then after they sign up and attend that webinar through the magic of technology and the cloud and all the things, the doors for our community open for them. So that's the way we approach it. We've had that for the past year or so. It's worked really well for us. And again, from a lifestyle perspective, like that means consistently adding in new members. I think for membership sites, having an evergreen sales mechanism is really important, because only live launching a membership, you'll struggle to get to that consistent monthly revenue number that you want, because you're going to live launch, you're going to add a lot of members, and then over the next 3 to 6 to 12 months, you're going to have churn. So you're going to have people leave, and your monthly revenue is going to slowly drop until you launch it again. So I like a combo of a live launch at least once a year with an evergreen sales mechanism to replace members that you lose throughout the course of the year and to continue to grow your membership site. That's what we're doing in 2020. We're going to do a live launch of Follower to Fan. We recently revamped our entire training program. So redid the entire training system, re-recorded everything, new workbooks, all of that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a big live launch of Follower to Fan Society 2.0 and then put that on evergreen in 2020. So I like that model.
Yeah, no. And I ask just for like the lifestyle purpose, because I know obviously with your goal of 200 days off and then with launches, I know that can be totally draining from your energetics.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, Tyler. Where can my audience find you? Anywhere? Instagram, website?
Yeah. So Instagram at Tyler J. McCall is the best place to find me. And then if you go to tylerjmccall.com/free, you'll be able to check out some freebies that we have for you there, including my free Instagram masterclass.
Thank you, because I know that we all love anything Instagram. So be sure to go check that out if you're listening. Yeah. And then I will put that in like the show notes below as well.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tyler. I really, really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.